Welcome back, family. We are here for part two of the CAPM content outline. Today, we have a different focus on a different domain. So with no further ado, let's just jump right into it. All right. So again, we'll break down the task distribution across domains. So as you recall, we covered project management fundamentals and core concepts, which were five tasks. And today we'll be covering predictive plan-based methodology. There's only three tasks in here. It's the lowest out of all of the four tasks. Hey, we're just going to go ahead. But even though it's the lowest of the number of tasks as well as percentage, there's a lot of content to cover in these three tasks. So again, this is going to be, you're still going to need to do your homework. And eventually, I want to put all of these together so you'll have a full content outline so you can reference. All right, let's jump into it. Domain two, predictive plan-based methodology. Here's the overview. When to use predictive and plan-based approach. A predictive plan-based approach is, we often refer to it as waterfall, is the most appropriate when the project scope, schedule, and cost are well-defined up front. Family, that is key. This is when you want to leverage a waterfall or methodology or predictive methodology, is because of the fact everything is well-defined up front. You leverage an agile mindset when everything is not well-defined as far as your scope. So the areas that can be fixed there, and I know I'm going on the agile rant, but I'll make it quick. Basically, when you look at agile, the things that are fixed are the actual time and cost, but scope is flexible. So going back to predictive, it's best used when projects with clearly defined deliverables and minimal expected change. Here we go. A predictive plan approach is most appropriate when project scope, timeline, and costs are well-defined up front, requirements are stable, unlikely to change during the project, deliverables and milestones are clear, and can be planned in sequential step-by-step manner. This is minimum uncertainty, and the project environment is stable and controlled. The organization values control, documentation, and structure approach to managing projects. Here's my additional thoughts, family. This approach works best in industries such as construction, manufacturing, and government projects where clear planning and minimum changes are expected throughout the project life cycle. Now let's break down the first task under this approach, or I should say this particular domain. Explain when it's appropriate to use a predictive plan-based approach. First item, identify suitable of a predictive plan-based approach for organizational structure, virtual co-location, matrix structure, hierarchical. Now, what I want to let you know, family, there are more, but again, I'm extracting this information from the CAPM content outline, and then I'm putting my own thoughts behind it and experience. So again, I want to be clear here. Make sure that you're studying this information as well as you take a CAPM course. Mine is not available yet, but when it does become available for those that are interested, I'll let you know. Here we go. Virtual, suitable if robust communication tools are clear and clear leaderships are in place to manage tasks remotely with minimum change. Co-location, ideal for team members are physically close, enabling easy coordination and adherence to the plan. Mostly ideal for predictive methods due to proximity of team members. Matrix works well when resources are shared across departments, provide clear roles, responsibilities are defined. Still requires a need for strict control over timelines, budgets, and priority. Hierarchical, a strong top-down decision-making process fits with a predictive plan-based approach as roles and processes are clearly defined. Next item, determine the activities within each approach. So in your, as we talked about yesterday, the process groups. So you have part of the five process group, which is initiating, planning, executing, monitoring, controlling, and as well as closing. So initiating, establish the project's purpose, objective, and stakeholders. Planning creates a detailed project management plan for scope, time, cost, quality, and risk. Executing, implement the project plan by completing tasks, managing resources, and meeting deliverable goals. monitor and controlling. You track performance compared with the plan and adjust as necessary to keep the project on track. And then last and final, closing. Finalizing all project work, getting formal acceptance from stakeholders, and perform project closure activities. Give examples of typical activities within each process. So in initiating, you have your project charter, as well as the goals and identifying your stakeholders. Planning. So I'm going to take my time with this one because this is important that you really understand this, because sometimes they'll ask you a question on the exam, and it's one of those questions that if you don't read it thoroughly, you'll miss it. I'll give you proper context. This is what I'm talking about. So people talk about the project management plan, but what they don't address is the 10 subsidiary plans that are part of the project management plan. So the project management plan, again, has 10 subsidiary plans, which is scope, requirements, schedule, cost, quality, resource, communication, risk, procurement, and stakeholder engagement. These are all plans that are under the project management plan, but there are also some supporting components depending on the complexity and the methodology of the project. So you'll have a process improvement plan, a project lifecycle plan, a change management plan, a configuration management plan, and then of course your baseline management plan. Let's navigate to executing. Direct team activities, manage communication, conduct procurements, and ensure quality deliverables. Monitor and controlling. You track and report project performances, monitor risk, control changes, perform various analysis, risk assessments, as well as you issue change requests. Closing, confirm project objectives are met, obtain final acceptance, finalize contract, complete deliverables, and release project resources, conducting a lessons learned session, as well as you archive your documents. Now, let's distinguish the difference between these various project components. With scope, it defines the work required and what is excluded from the project. I'm going to say that again. Defines the work required and what is excluded from the project. Schedule, establish the project timeline and key milestones. Cost, manages the project budget and financial resources. Quality, ensures deliverables meet the required standards. And then, of course, risk, identify potential project issues and prepares mitigation strategies. Task number two, demonstrating an understanding of project management planning. So here's the overview. Project management plan schedule outlines the timeline for completing project tasks and achieving deliverables. Key elements include schedule baseline, activities, sequencing, duration estimates, milestone, resource allocation, and monitoring. So let's go and unpack these. Schedule baseline. This is the approved version of the project schedule that can be used to measure performance. Normally, family, when you are building out a project schedule, you have to baseline the schedule. Why do you baseline it? You baseline it so you can see the variance as far as where, if you have to make any changes. Because normally how it works is once you and the team agrees on that, hey, we've locked in all our tasks or milestones, we're ready to baseline. What tends to happen is that you may find out something as you're navigating through the project, and now you have to make a change. And when you make a change, you have to go through the change management process. And going through the change management process, now you have to update your baseline with the new baseline. Activities, a detailed list of tasks required to complete the task. Sequencing, the logical order in which tasks need to be performed. Duration estimates, the estimated time required to complete each activity. Milestones. Now, when I start unpacking these even a little bit more than what you're seeing here, it's a reason behind that. It's because what ends up happening is that sometimes people get milestones and tasks confused. With milestones, all you need to know is this with milestones, and then they will take care of tasks. Milestones, again, has a significant point, meaning zero duration or achievement with the project timeline. Resource allocation, assigning resources, team members, equipment, material to ask within the schedule, monitoring, regular reviewing the project progress against the schedule to ensure alignment with the plan. All right, let's go to the breakdown now. So the breakdown is this: apply critical path method. critical path, or what we say CPM, identifies the longest sequence of activities that must be completed on time for the project to finish on schedule. Any delay in the critical path activities will delay the project completion. CPM helps project managers prioritize tasks and allocate resources efficiently. Calculate schedule variances. So schedule variance there, this measures the difference between the planned progress and the actual progress. It is calculated using a formula, which is SV, schedule variance, equals EV, which is earned value, minus PV, which is planned value. Positive variance means the project is ahead of schedule, while negative variance indicates a delay. That's an easy thing to remember. Hey, if it's positive, we're good. If it's negative, then hey, there's a delay somewhere. Explain the work breakdown structure, WBS. I actually created it. I may even revise that, created an episode around the WBS, but I may create another one just to update it, just to help you guys out there, because I think it'd be very important. WBS is a hierarchical decomposition of the total project work into smaller, more manageable components. It defines the scope of the project by breaking it down into deliverables and tasks. The WBS helps in organizing and defining the project work. Explain the work package. The work package is the smallest, that's the key word there, family, smallest unit in the WBS, representing a defined scope of work with specific deliverables. It's used to assign tasks, manage resources, and track progress at the most granular level. Apply a quality management plan. A quality management plan defines how quality will be managed throughout the project. It outlines the project qualities, objectives, standards, and control processes to ensure that deliverables are being met in quality specification and customers' expectations. Apply integration management plan. So an integration management plan ensures that all project processes, knowledge areas, and activities are coordinated. It helps manage interdependencies between project components, ensuring project functions as a cohesive whole. It includes processes such as developing the project charter, managing project work, and then, of course, closing the actual project. All right, let's get to the overview of, the overview of task number three. Now, task number three is one of those tasks where I may have put more in here than I needed to, but hey, you guys don't mind if I over-deliver, do you? Okay, determine how to document project controls of predictive plan-based projects. So document project controls involves defining and managing processes to ensure the project stays on track to the plan. Key steps include scope control, schedule control, cost control, risk control, quality control, change control, and communication control. Let's unpack the first one. Scope control. That basically means documenting changes to project scope using a formal change control process. Family, I want to park there real quick. When you decide to take the test, or if you're in the process or you're thinking about it, I will always recommend anytime there's any changes to your triple constraints, whether that's your triple constraints is your cost, your time, your scope, as well as quality, right away, you should know a formal change control has to be done. All right, that's my tip. All right, ensure all changes are reviewed, approved, and tracked. Schedule control, regularly update the project schedule to reflect progress and delays. You use tools like a Gantt chart or even a critical path analysis to monitor deviations from the baseline. Cost control, track project expenditures and compare them with the project, with the budget baseline. Implement a cost control process to approve additional spending and manage variances. Risk control, identify new risk and document mitigation strategies. You remember there's two types of mitigation strategies, positive as well as negative. Maintain a risk register to track and update existing risk and their status. Quality control, use quality checklists and control charts to ensure project deliverables meet predefined standards. Document the results of inspection and test. Change control. Establish a formal process for reviewing and approving any changes in scope, schedule, or cost. Document all change requests and decisions. communication control, ensure regular updates and reports are communicated to stakeholders, document meetings, decisions, and changes to maintain transparency and alignment. Here's some additional thoughts. These project controls help ensure that a predictive, plan-based project stays aligned with its objectives and constraints, ensuring for successful delivery. All right, here we go, family. These are the artifacts where, like I said, this is the breakdown portion. So I put in a lot of different artifacts that may be on the test and may not, but I really think these are going to help you just even if you're leading a real life project or if you're even thinking about getting into project management. Let's unpack it. Project charter, it authorizes the project and outlines initial objectives and stakeholders. Project management plan, this is a comprehensive document that guides project execution, monitor and controlling. Scope statement, it defines the project deliverables as well as its boundaries. Work breakdown structure, or what we call WBS, breaks down the project total work into manageable components. Gantt charts, a visual representation of the project schedule and task dependencies. Risk register, it tracks and basically identify risks, their potential impact, and the mitigation strategies, again, positive or negative. Change log documents any approved changes in scope, cost, or schedule. A lessons learned register is capture insights and learning for future project improvement. Let me say something about a lessons learned register. A lessons learned register, family, as you're leading a project, you constantly want to be able to keep adding information as you learn a lesson during that time. Stakeholder register identifies all stakeholders, their interests, their influence, as well as their engagement level. It helps ensure effective communication and alignment through the project. Issue log, it tracks project issues that arise and documents their resolution status. It ensures all issues are addressed and managed. Cost baseline, an approved budget used to compare actual project costs. It serves as a key reference for monitoring financial performance. Quality management plan defines the quality standards of project deliverables and outlines the quality control process to ensure those standards are met. My favorite plan here, communication management plan. It documents the approach to project communication, including stakeholder information needs, the format and frequency of communication, and responsible parties. Milestone lists identify key points, deliverables in the project timeline, allowing for tracking of progress toward critical goals. Resource calendar. This is a document available of a project resource for personal equipment, etc., helping to plan tasks accordingly to according to resource availability. Another one of my favorite matrix, which is a RAM. The acronym is, we say RAM, so responsibility assignment matrix. It defines who's responsible for which tasks and deliverables, clarifying roles, and my most favorite, reducing ambiguity. All right, let's look at the calculate cost and schedule variation. So cost variance is CV. It measures the difference between budgeted costs and the actual cost of work performed. The formula is very easy. Cost variance, or CV, equals earned value, or EV, minus actual cost, which is AC. Positive CV means under budget. Negative CV means over budget. Just one of those things. Again, positive is great. Negative is, oh, we're not doing well. Schedule variance measures the difference between planned progress and actual progress at a given point. Formula. SV is schedule variance equals EV, or value, minus plan value, or PV. Positive schedule variance means ahead of schedule. Negative schedule variance means you are behind schedule. I threw in something for some additional thoughts. There's also a part, and all of this is part of the earn value. So look that up, earn value management. Cost and schedule index. Cost performance index, or CPI. And measure cost efficiency, indicating how well the project is using the budget. The formula is easy. And this is one of the ways I learned. I'll actually learn this from my mentor, where if you do have this, any earned value on the test, anytime you see a variance, so cost variance or schedule variance, you're always going to subtract. It's always going to be a subtraction. When you see index, always think about you're always going to divide. So again, and I don't know if the indexes are going to be on the actual test, but hey, I just want to give you everything. Measure cost efficiency, indicating how well the project is using the budget. Formula cost performance index equals earned value divided by actual cost. Cost performance index greater than one means the project is under budget. I should say greater than one means the project is under budget, while cost performance less than one indicates the project is over budget and performing poorly. Schedule performance index, or CPI, measures schedule efficiency, shows how efficiently the project is progressing relatively to planned schedule. That formula is schedule performance index equals earned value divided by planned value. And the same thing, schedule performance index greater than one means the project is ahead of schedule, while SPI less than one indicates it's behind schedule. All right, family, this is our conclusion for domain two, predictive plan-based methodology. This is worth 17% on your exam, and we just covered tasks 1 through 3. I just want you to keep in mind, keep a grasp of tools like work breakdown structure, WBS, your critical path method, CPM, various analysis where we talked about schedule variance and cost variance. Also understand the project controls, the different baselines. There's your cost baseline, your scope baseline, your schedule baseline. Think about these baselines. And just remember, by applying these concepts, project managers can ensure successful project outcomes within a predictive and plan-based framework. Family, I hope you enjoy today's episode. This is, again, part two of me unpacking the content outline in my own way. But again, at the end of the day, I would definitely recommend that you take a CAPM course around the exam, because I can't cover everything here within 30 minutes. I do have a CAPM course that I'm building and working through along with everything else. So that's going to take some time. But when it's ready, I will definitely promote it for those that are interested in working with me to get their CAP. Part 3 and 4 will be on its way. I truly appreciate you giving me your time today. I go by the name ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means it. Until next time.